Welcome to another Domestic Preparedness Podcast interview. Today's topic, the effective use and training of intelligent accountability systems. Today's guests from Arkansas are Gina Williams, Emergency Management Coordinator from Van Buren County at the Arkansas Department of Emergency Management. Also, Alan Radcliffe, Director for Franklin County Emergency Management. From Illinois, say hello to A.C. Bueller, Branch Chief for Systems and Technology at the Mutual Aid Box Alarm System. This podcast is sponsored by Salamander Technologies. Salamander is there for you when it matters the most. Their intelligent accountability suite of tag, track, and report solutions provides a means to identify and manage resources, providing a common operating picture with date and time stamped, real-time situational awareness for emergency responders, resources, and civilians at emergency incident and planned events. The data capture gives you the power to provide mission-critical information and detailed reporting for, during, and after the incident or event concludes. To learn more, visit www.salamanderlive.com. Now let's begin.
What is the biggest benefit of being able to credential and track emergency personnel at the scene of an incident? Is there a downside? And does having a system like this in place make the job easier?
The best part about having the credentialing system and being able to track the personnel is that it creates an efficiency for us. We have minimal personnel to administer the system itself. We can actually go through and preload our rosters, so it touches base on the preparedness and planning side for the emergency management office. The other plus on it is that we're able to search the resources by their qualifications. And so we're not only able to do that on an immediate basis, but we can change those people by their qualifications per their assignment. On the command and control side, we were able to look at a full visibility of where we have everybody assigned. So it really gave our command and control staff complete awareness of the incident itself, and it really organized the situational awareness for us that we were able to go ahead and move somebody around accordingly to what the incident demanded. The other part is the safety part. Being able to look at the baseline on the medical data for each individual responder was a great plus for us. Just in case somebody did get hurt, we were able to go ahead and inform the medical staff that was responding of any particular medical attention that that particular responder or volunteer that they actually needed. Where normally we would actually take 6 to 8 people to fill out a whole bunch of paperwork, we were able to cut that down for the electronic side of things, 2 to 3 people. So our last incident, we'd actually processed 197 volunteers and organizations in an 8.5-hour period. The downside is that my responders that were out in the field, they didn't actually have time to come up into our check-in area. And so we'd actually have to check them in physically versus being able just to go ahead and scan their badges.
MABUS uses a couple of different components within it. When we create our cards, we create it with the intent of using it for two purposes. One is to verify that we actually have a credentialed responder, that they've gone through the correct background, they're approved by their chief, etc. We use the Tier 2 validation with the as a sieve coming through Salamander. And so the database that we have that we verify against as people are checked in shows that does the person have a properly issued card. Second, as far as the processing and the accountability on it, when we're using the system, we're using it more on a statewide deployment level. We're using it not on the day-to-day. What we'll do is we'll go ahead and have the cards, be able to use them, take the people who come in, they'll have the cards, they'll go through the validation, and then we'll go ahead and set them into a company. We're in the process of taking the different responders, implementing the use of the RFID cards as a company card. We have found that that's probably the best way to do it. It's flexible, so we can take people, put them together as a team or as a company, and be able to process them through the system. The only problems we've run into when exercising this is when you have a situation where some of the firefighters who are being deployed are not fully through the system. So we're dealing with a little bit of phase-in on that. And in that case, what we're doing is we're processing them off their driver's license with a form that serves effectively as an affidavit from either their company officer or their divisional team leader, attesting the fact that this guy is part of a unit that is credentialed. He is part of a unit that he's supposed to be with, and here's the information, and basically representing his department. However, as a whole, we've been very happy with it. We've been very happy with the product, and we've found that it's flexible enough to support the changing needs that we have on the larger scale incidents and larger scale exercises within Illinois.
Well, the biggest benefit is it provides safety for our responders. And as long as they check in and check out with command, we know that they're accounted for. And as far as the downside, there really isn't any if the responders are trained properly and understand how the system works. As far as making the job easier, it definitely makes our job easier. When I'm an incident commander at a large scene, I have a lot to do and to worry about, but the Salamander solutions providing accountability on scene for personnel and equipment, I don't have to worry as much about safety and tracking of resources as I would if we didn't have a system that allowed us to track everybody.
Would each of you provide us with some examples of incidents and or events where having an intelligent accountability system in place has been successful?
We're very proud to say that when we did our validation with DHS and the International Association of Fire Chiefs, when we did that, we not only did a 90 and 90, we did a 90 and 90 at three sites during rush hour in Chicago metropolitan area. We had not just from the metropolitan Chicago area, we had from Rockford and west of there. We had seven divisions responding with task forces from Wisconsin. We had two task forces responding from Indiana, and we had one task force responding from Michigan. We were able to get real-time accountability information, which I always like telling the story if I'm at our statewide dispatch center. If they're checking in on the radios and saying, you know, if so-and-so's here, I'm sitting there sort of talking to myself or no one in particular, and the evaluator from the International is sort of hovering over. And I said, okay, we've got this team here, we've got this one at Tinley Park, and we've got this in Glenview, and this one has... He said, wait a minute, what are you doing? I said, well, I can look at this and see who's checked in from here. And so if I click on this team from our Division 3, and in that it has an engine from Northbrook, and it has an engine from Deerfield, and has an ambulance from Winnetka. If we drill in on that, then we can see what firefighter is assigned to that and what his credentials are within that. He said, you can do this on all the sites? I said, oh, yeah, absolutely. So, wait a minute, you've got real-time accountability at a multi-location incident? Yeah. He said, well, nobody can do that. And he said, well, we can, and just because we were able to pull it together, it proved that we can make it work, and it works well, and it works smoothly, and you get the kind of information out on what responders you have in place. Other things that we've been using it on, we've had a number of exercises, a number of validations. We're using it a lot with our urban search and rescue team, ILTF-1, how they're processing their people through and going from assignment to assignment. Again, we focus on the larger incidents and the use of it in the larger incident. We have in Illinois something that doesn't exist in NIMS, but it probably should, at least in our opinion, of a reception site. Now, this isn't the pod from where each individual division is coming from. This is sort of a central location that the convoys will be heading out to the large deployments. There's a security validation code the team has to have before coming in. In that, we process the personnel. We do safety inspections on the vehicles. When we were going down to Katrina, we found several trucks that had absolutely no tread on their tire. So we sort of had to say, you know, this isn't going to be safe on the trip down there. But this is where we do the processing. We do it at a site. We set up a portable office that seems to work pretty well. We have three of those deployed throughout the state, plus there's another one for the IMAT. And so we do all the processing there. So it's in place. It's looked at. It's worked through. You get all the reports before you send the convoys down to the incident. But what we're doing is, as we're doing the regional exercises, as we're doing the combinations of the hazmat and TRT teams together and working with the urban search and rescue team, we're using it at the smaller areas because we want to have some level of comfort and some level of familiarization with the systems that MAVIS is using for their personnel accountability systems.
I kind of go by a little quote that says 10% of what happens to you in life is really 90% about what to do about it. So this past April, we're actually awarded a Homeland Security grant, and we were able to obtain our Salamander system. Well, they delivered that system to us on April 9th, and we were scheduled for training on April 10th. We started training, I think, at 9 o'clock in the morning, and at 3:30 that afternoon, we had a tornado warning posted. At 4:30 that afternoon, my county was struck by an F3 tornado. So, of course, it was trial by fire for us. We did our initial response from probably about 5 o'clock that afternoon until 2 o'clock that very next morning. I called the trainer at about 1:30 that night before I was going home and told them that I really needed to implement this system first thing in the morning. So we actually, at 6 o'clock in the that following morning on the 11th, we implemented the rapid tag system. The idea behind it being so user-friendly was the greatest help that could be. We started using our rapid tag system immediately with our volunteers, our first responders. We slowly moved into doing our mobile express unit. And then eventually we actually got the command system set up. So within the first probably 24 to 72 hours, I had full three-part integrated system that pretty much captured everything that I needed to capture. It hit three different areas within my county, and so at one point in time, we actually had an overload of equipment first responders in one area where my command and control staff, they could actually, on the fly, move certain individuals over to another area that wasn't getting so much attention. We ended up coming through and looking at the in-kind match through this particular event. And through the organization and the reporting process and the timestamps, we were able to come across over $135,000 in in-kind match just in volunteer and first to responder and equipment hours. And so for us being a small county, that, you know, was like worth it twice fold over, especially when it comes down to the response and recovery issue. The documentation on it, for the longest time, we would have paper shuffles and paper shuffles and paper shuffles. I've got tens and twenties of boxes sitting up there with documentation, where with the Salamander system and the Intertrack system, I downloaded all my reports and documents straight on a CD, and when the judge's office, they needed their reports, they got it on a CD. They didn't have 10 and 20 boxes of documentation for us. It thrilled them to death. And then turn around when FEMA came in on the declaration, they actually wanted that same information, and they, you know, they want legitimate information. They want information that's validated. Well, we had all that information. We had the timestamps. We had the organizations. And so for us, the success story is don't stop trying to get what you need. Always learn from your lessons.
Well, in the state of Kansas, we're statewide with Salamander Solutions, and we actually started in the Northeast region in 2007 with 23 counties. And in those counties, we all have the capability to print the accountability cards And then we also have the Salamander Mobile Express and Rapid Tag solutions. And we use those for planned events like our county fairs or any large incidents. One of them recently in Franklin County was a homicide investigation that involved a wide area search, and we had to track over 100 law enforcement officials that were involved. And with the use of Mobile Express and Rapid Tag, we were able to do that. Then as we go into our incidents, we also bring in the command system and InterTrack so that we can link everything together. And it's not only a county-wide incident, it then becomes a regional or a state-level disaster response. One of the most recent that we had was a tornado that affected a town in the northeast region, the little town of Harveyville, and a Type 3 incident management team was deployed for 4 days there, and we used all of the Salamander solutions to track resources at that incident.
Do you feel there is a financial benefit to employing such a system?
Oh, absolutely, both on the local government level and the state level. But now when we've gone through and started creating our databases, and we've just started with our law enforcement and fire, every piece of equipment that we actually put in the system has a FEMA cost code on it. And so with every declaration and every incident, you've got to keep your documentation and your numbers together when it comes to the finances. It doesn't come free by no means. And so when you're out there and you've got, you know, a tanker going through and you've got a pumper going through and you've got generators that are running through and you've got law enforcement vehicles that are going through and some of the other specialized equipment with my search and rescue teams, it all has a cost code. And so that cost code reflects as far as what your county or what your state government is spending, what you're going to be able to have for reimbursement, and the access to that information in real time and in post-incident, because it's just not always afterwards. Sometimes you have to go ahead and look at those numbers on a daily basis just to be able to track your budget. And so the intelligent accountability system, when it comes to the financial benefit, we spent quite a bit of money on the front end on the system itself. However, our very first incident covered that twice-fold in in-kind match.
As cyber attacks continue to increase, should we be concerned about personal information that is stored in these systems?
We limit what we use in the system. We do not use a number of the fields that are available. We don't use, for example, any of the medical information that would lend itself to some HIPAA issues. And here's the reason for that. When we have someone who's a firefighter of one of our agencies coming in, they're still working for that fire department. You know, they're not working for us. We see that as their department's responsibility to handle that. But in order to get the consensus of all the 102 counties and the 68 divisions that we have in Illinois, that would have been something you'd probably never get off. If something happened, we would be able to get the information off the cards. We'd be able to get the information out through the tag or whichever of the Salamander suite that was used by that department. We are really not transmitting anything significant up to the secure site.
We do put a lot of confidential information on there, and the reason being is that, one, I understand that Salamander has a pretty tight grip as far as limiting access to a lot of the information. But my firefighters and my law enforcement and my first responders, they want that information on there. So if we do have to go into a mutual aid situation where we're going into another county or we're going into EMAC mode into another state or something, that they actually have that information on their badge. And for us, the only ones that have the access to that do have that HIPAA qualifications put on there that we can actually see that information. I like the idea that there's specific login requirements that need to be followed when it comes to accessing the medical information.
I think any time you use a computer and the Internet, you have a concern. But with the use of firewalls and antivirus software, I believe that threat is lessened. Besides, we in Kansas, we don't use any information beyond a state-issued identification number like a driver's license. So if cyber terrorists or hackers wanted to get to that, they could get into the state system maybe even easier than trying to find us using the system out in the field.
Alan, it is my understanding that there are plans to have all of FEMA Region 7 on in one intelligent accountability system. How involved are you with that initiative, and what is the benefit of having an entire region on a single system?
In Region 7, we've got Missouri, Iowa, Kansas, and I believe it is Nebraska. So we've got Nebraska and Iowa and Kansas, and I believe he's very close to getting Missouri on board also. I think by the end of the year, all of Region 7 will be on there. It's real nice for our border counties in Kansas if we can get those other states involved, that our system is interoperable with those other states. So if you look at the EMAC process, it helps tremendously because if an incident occurs in one of those other states, Kansas can send support to those other states if we do nothing more than using the Salamander system tracking personnel for them. And we've actually, in the northeast region of Kansas, developed a team, and currently we have about 20 or 25 people on that team, that's their job. Their job is to know how to run Rapid Tag, Mobile Express, and Command, and then they report to our resource unit leader on our incident management teams.
And finally, what are the key lessons and or takeaways of effective training and use of intelligent accountability systems?
Practice, practice, practice. Get the people that are going to be working with the systems comfortable with the systems. Make sure they exercise them. Make sure they're the ones taking them out of the boxes and syncing them up and getting the rapid tag machines synchronized with command and running the tests up to Intertrax. Make sure you've got people that are interested in it. Make sure that you've got people from different parts of your service area that are involved. One of the rules in MABUS is that we will never ask anyone for more than 20% of their resources. And we do that because things are going to happen locally. Well, if you happen to be doing something locally and we are asking for your help, you may not be able to come and assist us because you're under the water already. We've looked at a number of different groups within the MABUS family, I guess, as you'd talk about it. Actually, we have five command systems. We have one that we use at our headquarters. We have one that goes with our urban search and rescue team. We have one in northern, central, and southern Illinois, all with a vehicle that is designed for processing personnel in preparation for an incident. We have some areas that have a great number of firefighters that are very interested in this, and you only need to be moderately savvy with some technology, and you'll be able to work well within the system. We have some areas that we've worked with the administrative professionals groups. So we have a number of the teams that are staffed with department secretaries, department executive secretaries, that are interested in participating and being involved in this sort of a system. Make sure you think about those resources and training them in advance. But the more people you can get involved in it up front gives you the more flexibility if they should be in an area that's been stricken.
I'd have to agree with AC on a lot of that. When I looked at this question, I kind of put it into the planning, preparedness, response, and recovery situation. And I have to agree that on the planning side, making sure that you have individuals that are interoperable with each part of the system is going to benefit you greatly. On the preparedness side, it's the old saying goes, if you don't use it, you lose it. And so using it not only during actual events, but during non-critical situations, the training, the exercises, even at the tabletops, you're able to use the system. And all the way across, all four parts of the system, you should be able to integrate that within your exercise or your training. As far as on the response side, ensuring that you have hard copies of all the permanent responder badges along with the equipment. We have a three-ring binder that when I create a hard copy badge, and we make a copy of the front, we make a copy of the back, we organize it under each individual fire department that goes with the responders and the equipment. We create a rapid tag for the equipment itself. And so having those hard copies when it comes to response, you may not get those people to your command center or your reception center, your check-in center. You may have to go ahead and get a phone call or a radio identification saying that they've been dispatched to, this is where they're going, please check us in. And so having that three-ring binder with a backup system with it helped out just tremendously. And on the recovery side, the electronic documentation, as with any management system, the paperwork gets to be overwhelming. So being able to electronically store an incident or an event data will ensure that the data is organized. It'll ensure that it's time-stamped and that it's accessible and presentable to the appropriate agencies that you're going to have to give to. So, and it really gives your operation a sense of legitimacy.
Well, I think the biggest lesson is proper training to use the equipment and the system itself. In fact, no matter what tracking system you use, the people need to be trained to use it. And the nice part about the Salamander system is it can start with a small incident and manual accountability and tracking of your resources, and then as the incident grows into a larger response, we can switch then to the electronic equipment, such as the Mobile Express, Rapid Tag, and command modules, and track everybody. And it expands and contracts just like the NIMS incident command system does across the state. So as long as people have the training, I think that's key to using these systems. And they not only need that training for their personal accountability, checking in and checking out on an incident, but also being able to operate the equipment that we have on site to do the tracking of personnel.
That wraps it up. Thank you to today's participants for sharing their insights with Dom Prep.